This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
We join Tim Mize and Terry Tope.
David Jenkins, thank you very much. And it's like the Old Testament out there right now. The biblical rains. We're the locusts.
There are no frogs yet.
Thankfully. That's coming later.
We got to have the wood and the pitch and, you know, put all that stuff together, right?
Well, we just commented before we came on the air looking at our color radar screen here in our studios. I haven't seen a radar screen with that much rain on it in a long, long time.
The Green Bay Packers are coming. It's a whole bunch of green and yellow. Southwestern Paisaw birds. All the
Paisaw birds
are taking over.
That's right.
They've taken over the state of Missouri right now.
Yes, it's Southwestern Birds Day on the radar screen. So
we got inches of rain.
Yeah. Well, when you're talking on a Thursday about 5 to 7 inches of rain on the weekend, and you know it's coming by on Thursday, that makes you kind of shake your head and go, "Wow."
Well, I told you this a couple days ago. I heard one of the TV meteorologists in St. Louis say, "Expect a half a foot." Of rain.
That's a lot.
You're not supposed to measure rain in feet. That is not good. This is not good. We could have a lot of rain coming.
Well, and a couple of weeks ago, you hear, you know, Dave Murray on the 2 News at 5, "Well, we're going to have a lot of rain. It's going to be upwards of 3/4 of an inch and stuff." And I'm going, "You just wait."
Yeah. 3/4 of an inch an hour.
3/4 of an inch rain, that's a good rain, okay?
Well, we got on
six
Thursday.
Inches of rain. No. Could be a bit much.
Yeah, the rain we got on Thursday was perfect.
Yeah.
You know, that's all. We don't need any more than that. Yeah. That's perfect. But we're going to get a little bit more.
We are getting a little bit more right now. So.
And so as you can imagine with the wet weather we had yesterday, obviously into today, nothing sports-wise high school is going to be happening today. There really wasn't anything going on yesterday. A few soccer matches got played.
Yeah, let me find my scores from yesterday. There were some soccer matches. Carlinville shut down Gillespie 8-0. At the Pleasant Plains tournament, Riverton beat Litchfield 7-3. Three more goals, I think, from Jade Taylor, who's now in, third place all time in the state of Illinois, scoring-wise, for goals. Incredible career for Jade. Springfield Lutheran beat Beardstown 3-0. Plains over Springfield Southeast 9-0. And Williamsville beat Athens 8-1. I think if I've got this figured out right, I think Springfield Lutheran is going to take on Pleasant Plains for the championship. And I saw a tweet this morning that the activities there today have been called off. So I don't know when they'll play that, but I think it's Plains and Lutheran for the championship. So
need the Wisby Dome on days like
this. I tell you what, just close the dome up. Yeah. And had St. Louis built a dome when they built the new stadium,
they'd be able to play today. Haven't officially canceled the game today, but.
No.
I don't know how on earth
when you look at radar and you see how far back that rain extends and I don't know.
You know, with Major League Baseball, I've always thought when did they start really making these new stadiums? 10, 15 years ago, maybe 20, whatever
going back to when Miller Park was new.
Right.
Really, that's
you can't really go back to Camden Yards because that was in the 90s. But I really wish Major League Baseball would have mandated any new stadium being built now must have a retractable roof. And baseball should have paid for the retractable roof portion of the stadium. It would have paid for it. I mean, you could start the season earlier.
Sure.
You could then have more off days.
Oh, sure.
And then if the World Series winds up in November, who cares?
Who cares? Yes, yes. You know, I've said this for years, it's dumb to even design a stadium without a roof. I mean, look at the Target Stadium in Minnesota. My gosh, if the Twins ever get in the World Series and then ends up in the first week of November, my God.
Well, things that just make you scratch your head. The Minnesota Vikings play inside.
Inside, yes.
And the Minnesota Twins play outside. What?
I don't know. I don't know.
I'm all for retractable roofs. With that said, though, if the Cardinals had a retractable roof on this current Busch Stadium, they would not have won the World Series in 2006.
Well, probably not.
Would not have won it in 2011
because of the rainouts
and their pitching got lined up in both instances because of that.
That's true. That's true.
It would be nice if they had a retractable.
It just makes so much sense. And you don't necessarily have to have it at Dodger Stadium. You don't necessarily have to have it at San Diego. These places that don't get a whole lot of rain problems. Yeah. But certainly in the Midwest, certainly in the northern areas of the country where you have a lot of, cold weather, wet weather, it would just make sense.
And I get back in the day not wanting to have an actual dome. I get that. Mm-hmm. But now, when you can have the retractable roof, you can still have your natural grass, you can still have the stadium open on a beautiful day.
Sure.
But on a day like this, you'd be able to play ball.
You'd be able to play ball. You know, why would you turn 50,000 or 44,000 people away? That's dumb.
Well, they're a tricky little rain delay policy, though. You get those 44,000 into the stadium, and then once they're in, they can't leave until the game's officially canceled.
Right.
So there's a method to their madness.
Of course.
If they play today against the Reds, we'll have it for you live at 12:20 on AM 1540 and FM
106.9. What a difference 2 weeks has made in Cardinal baseball.
Sheesh.
They're on the verge of having their first under 500 April under Mike Matheny. Now they may, with one more win, they won't be under 500.
Funny, when you pitch and you hit, how things change.
Started with the pitching.
It did.
It started with that Pittsburgh sweep when they only won 2-1 each game.
Yeah, you're right there. You're right there.
And really, the starting pitching's been good all year. You take away a couple of blown starts from Waino.
Yeah.
The starting pitching's been about the most consistent part of the club from the opening.
Martinez had that game in Yankee Stadium that wasn't good with the 8 walks and the...
True, but he didn't give up a lot of runs,
though. He didn't. You're right. He had the one start at home against Cincinnati where he gave up 6 runs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Didn't say they were all good, David. Most of them were good.
Yeah.
Most of them.
But you've got to be able to score some runs.
Yes, which they are now.
Which are scoring.
And you knew Fowler was going to come around.
Yeah. That's the thing. They're scoring runs. Look who's heating up.
Yeah.
It's Fowler and Carpenter.
Yeah.
Those guys are hitting.
Well, it's
the
about
is going.
Doggone time, for God's sakes.
Grichuk and Wong at the bottom of the order have been phenomenal.
Colton Wong's been
great.
I mean, this is what you want Colton Wong to be, what he's been the last 7 to 10 days. That's exactly what you want him to be.
For the next 7 to 10 days, he'll probably disappear. All
it takes is one offer and Matheny will have him on the bench.
Yeah. I don't know about that. I think we've turned the corner on that. I think Mozeliak laid the law down. The manager. Remember, they went 3-9.
Yeah.
When they were 3-9, Mozeliak had that powwow, and you will not convince me that he did not sit Matheny down before that and basically lay it out. You're not going to play Adams in left field.
Yeah.
We're going to DL Peralta. You're going to play Colton Wong.
And actually, Peralta, they could just outright release him as far
and
as
they
I'm
should.
Concerned.
And they should.
You know, he's not going to fit into the Cardinal picture. He just
You don't need him.
You don't need him. No.
Jerko's much better.
Well, you've got Garcia who can come in and play third base, play shortstop, play second, play wherever you want him to. Guy can play. He's a ball player.
Jericho's been great at third compared to what they had.
And he's hitting.
So
I don't necessarily like him in the cleanup spot, but that's nitpicking at this point.
But he's doing it.
He is.
He's doing it at this point. Guys, the season's young, but already the great Yachty has had three plays this year that just make you scratch your head and go, what? Now, we know about the ball that got stuck to his chest protector.
Yeah.
And then the other night against Toronto, Chris Coughlin just jumps and leaps right over him. Thankfully, he didn't just run him over, which he could have. But then last night, that is one of the most heads-up, instinctual baseball plays you will ever see. He picked a man off after a walk.
Right.
After a walk. Guy rounded the base too far.
He was just casually walking off the base.
You're entitled to third base. Doesn't mean you can go beyond it.
You can't round third base.
Yeah. Well, you can. It's just that you pay the price.
Right. Yeah.
But when you see the highlight of that play and the wide angle.
It's amazing.
It's amazing. It just sums up the greatness of Yachty. And we've talked about it before, whether he's a Hall of Famer or not. We're not going to get into that discussion again. But the thing that has made Yachty great is his intangibles and his IQ, his awareness. They were all on display on that play last night. The man never even turned his head to look towards third base. Peripheral vision. Sees it out of the corner of his eye. Doesn't even turn his shoulders or his head to throw the ball to third base. Yeah. And he puts it right on the line. And Jed Jerko, in a lot of ways, he sold that play by just nonchalantly just kind of walking over to the bag. La-di-da-di-da.
Yeah.
Hey, look, there's the ball. You're out.
Yeah. Heads up for the umpires, too.
Yeah.
Some umpires might have missed it.
But that would have been reviewable, though, had they missed
it. Would've.
It
would have. Yeah.
But I've seen a lot of baseball in my life. Mm-hmm. I've never seen that one.
No, I don't recall that either.
Not that it's never happened, but boy, that is rare.
Yeah.
And that, you know, you talk about big leaguers sometimes, you know, they get in that, not lazy mode, but just kind of, when you play a game.
Mode.
Yeah,
sure.
When you play a game every day, for 6 months, sure. and you've been doing it your whole life. There are certain things you take for granted. Well, walking from second to third on a walk is certainly one of them.
Well, they always caution people who drive their vehicles, their automobiles, that, you know, your accident is probably going to be within a half mile of your home because that's when you don't pay as much attention because you're just so used to doing it. Right. Baseball players get into that same mode after you play, you know, years and years of baseball. Mm-hmm. You just kind of lollygag to the next base and maybe take a step beyond it, and all of a sudden, boom, you're tagged out. So,
you know, the Cardinals, they're the worst base running team.
They are.
In a long, long time. Not even they do that. Not even they do that.
Not yet.
They just get picked off four times in a game, you know.
How can they get picked off of second base by the catcher so many times in a week? How is that possible?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Mind-boggling.
I haven't seen that in high school.
Yeah, that happens in high school, it's bad.
Yeah.
To have it happen to a big league club three or four times in a week? I think twice in one game.
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. I don't know. There are still times that they are a difficult team to perceive.
Well, that the first
pay attention to.
And I think potentially the first game of that doubleheader could be the turning point for their whole season. Potentially the way they came back in that ball game and then to sweep the doubleheader, which is hard to do. But that first game of the doubleheader against Toronto sums up exactly what you're talking about, T.
Yeah.
I mean, they were down 4-0. I think they've had three or four errors. Yeah. Couple of outs on the bases just look terrible. Awful. And then all of a sudden, Grichuk hits a home run. The game's tied. Yeah. Wong hits a triple to lead off the 11th. Carpenter hits the grand slam. And, oh, hey, look at that. They won the game. We'll forget about all that other stuff. But if they would have lost, think about if they would have lost that game committing four errors and making two or three outs on the bases.
I think they only had two errors in that one. They had four errors the night before in the extra
inning. It's hard to keep it all straight.
Yeah, because that was
when you start averaging, though, it's a crooked number,
it's
okay?
Bad. Yeah, because, well,
when you average a crooked number of errors in a game, that's not good.
Yeah, I mean, the game before that, it would have been Tuesday night's game, I guess, that was awful in itself, the extra inning game, because they could have won it in regulation, in nine innings a couple times. Well, maybe not nine innings, because they tied it in the ninth. Could have won it in the tenth.
They had the bases loaded with nobody out early in that game and didn't score.
They did. That was awful.
But and that's why the Cardinals, they're just going to be kind of a pull-your-hair-out-of-team all year. Because, yeah, they've got the talent to win the games. But fundamentally, they're going to do things that just shoot themselves in the foot.
I don't know that they do have the talent. That's been a big discussion here lately, is I don't know that they do have the talent to make a postseason run.
Well, a couple things that I'll just toss out here. Number one, Lance Lynn, I think, is...
Love Lance Lynn.
Oh, what a performance this guy's had this year, and he's kind of become the bulldog of the staff.
New Chris Carpenter.
Yeah, he really has. But I will go out on a limb and say that you're probably going to see three or four different position players and maybe two or three different bullpenners by the time August rolls around.
Well,
I really think Mozeliak and the Cardinals have some decisions to make if they're going to take the steps that are necessary to get them, number one, back into the postseason, and number two, competitive within the postseason.
Well, I think the bullpen's definitely going to change. But you start looking at their everyday players, there's not much they can do there. The outfield is what it is. You know, maybe Martinez and Grichuk platoon in left. But Fowler's your center fielder. Piscotty's your right fielder.
Yeah.
You know that.
I don't have a problem with that.
Right. No. But on the infield, Diaz, is he Ozzie Smith a shortstop?
No,
he is not. But he's not going anywhere. They have no better option. So he's going to be the shortstop as long as he's hitting.
Yeah.
Colton Wong has found himself, so he's going to be your second baseman.
See, I don't think Colton Wong is going to be a Cardinal.
If Colton Wong's playing like he's playing now, they're not going to get rid of him.
I don't think this is
the Colton Wong they've been waiting for. This is the guy they've been waiting for.
This is the 2 weeks Colton Wong has been waiting for, but Colton Wong just doesn't last longer than two weeks.
So. And he might not. But
I hope I'm wrong, because I think he's a heck of an athlete. I think he's, you know, he's quick. He can make some dazzling plays out there, but I just don't think he can be consistent. So,
but who are they going to get that's better?
I don't know. That's why Mozeliak gets the big bucks. You know, he can go out there and find somebody, and when he starts wheeling and dealing, generally within the season itself, he usually comes up with some pretty good matches.
But I mean, you start comparing him to the Cubs. Yeah, they're not that talented. Right. You start comparing him against the other teams in baseball, they're not that far off with the talent. It's the little things. And granted, in baseball, the little things become big things. They really do. But I really don't think it's a lack. Could they have more talent? Well, of course they could have more talent. But they have enough talent to compete to get into the playoffs. Do they have enough talent to win the World Series? I don't know. But how often does the best team very rarely wins the World Cup? It's the hottest team. Exactly right. And the way they've played since their 3-9 start, if they play like that, they can beat anybody. Now, can they play like that? That's another conversation
well,
for another day.
And that's why I say I think there's going to be some personnel changes.
You got to field the ball, and you only get
you have to see the ball, feel the ball, throw the ball in that order. I don't know. Are they not paying attention? I don't know. No, but where's Jose Oquendo? That's what I want to know. Where's Jose Oquendo?
Working with the minor leaguers.
Why is he not with the major leaguers?
They don't want to do that anymore.
Well, I tell you what, I think that's something they need to talk about.
The biggest issue with the Cardinals, though, I don't know if you knew this, you only get 27 outs in a baseball game. You only get 27 of them. You don't get any more than that. And if they continue to give away 2 to 3 outs on the bases, that's going to be tough.
Yeah.
Going to be tough.
It is.
The Illini got some really good news this week. Mr. Basketball, Mark Smith, is going to be at the University of Illinois next fall. We'll talk about that when we come back.
Back to Sports Saturday here on WSMI FM 106, and we rejoin Tim Mize and Terry Toe.
All right, David Jenkins, thank you very much. And, you know, for the University of Illinois basketball program, it's been an interesting ride here the last several months, of course. They made that late season push where they started playing some better basketball, ultimately came up short of where they wanted to get. John Gross gets fired. In comes Brad Underwood. Lots of good vibes around the program with him. But then some of the recruits started to ask to be released from their letters of intent, which they did.
Which is perfectly normal.
Happens all the time.
Happens all the time, yep.
And Mark Smith has come full circle.
Yeah.
He went, got out, looked around, and he's back. Just could not get away from his home state school.
He mentioned that he wanted to follow in the steps of previous Mr. Basketballs in Illinois.
That's awesome.
And represent the state of Illinois. And kudos to Mr. Smith and you know, for anybody that thinks Illinois and Coach Underwood will have a squad that'll be 25 and whatever next year, and not probably going to happen. But I'm telling you, in a couple of years, watch out. It could be a very interesting Illinois basketball squad that competes in the Big Ten and competes for the Big Ten.
The foundation is being laid.
The foundation is being laid, and it seems to be pretty solid right now. So.
And what have we always talked about, not just on this station, but really any radio station across the state, when you talk about Illinois basketball, it's always they got to keep the best players home.
Yes.
And you're talking about Mark Smith. He was the best high school basketball player in the state this year.
He was a man among boys.
He really was.
He really was.
What a stud.
Yeah.
He wasn't. I mean,
and that's not his best in pitching. Baseball was his best sport.
Well, until he hurt his arm. He was actually thinking about giving up basketball his senior year to focus on baseball. And then sore arm and boom, exploded over the summer. And next thing you know, Kentucky's after you. Michigan State's after you. Whoa, how'd this happen? That's pretty cool. I like this.
Duke made a late push.
But it sounds like Kentucky and Michigan State were the two big-time programs. I mean, they were all in on this kid. They wanted him badly. Mm-hmm. And so that makes the fact that Illinois got him even bigger.
Indiana was in until Crean got fired.
How about that?
Because that was one of his schools of choice, too.
One of the things here... First off, you see loyalty to the state, which is something you don't see very often. And I think that has to do with the fact that he's a downstate kid. I mean, a lot of times in the Chicagoland area, you're exposed to a lot of different schools, a lot of different, media outlets, opinions, that sort of thing. And I think Mark Smith, just being from where he's from, used some common sense here.
Absolutely.
And realized what it means to the program, how important that program is to the University of Illinois and how important it is and how much fun it could be to be part of the foundation of that program that's probably going to be a heck of a lot better here in a couple of years.
They got a lot of talent coming.
They have a lot of talent coming and a very good recruiting group and so.
And, you know, with the style of basketball that Underwood wants to play, that's only going to attract more top-level talent. Mm-hmm. I mean, kids don't want to play basketball like it's 1975.
No.
They want to get up and down the floor go.
Yeah.
And this is exactly – I mean, I remember Underwood's introductory press conference. We want to shoot the ball in the first 7 seconds.
There you go.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
Score in the first 7 seconds.
Yeah.
I think he said shoot.
Did he? Okay.
I thought he might have said score, but I think they want to get a shot on the rim in the first 7 seconds because that is by his, you know, he's an analytical guy.
It's like a first pitch strike. You know, that's probably the best pitch you're going to see if you're a hitter.
Right, because this theory is, with this first 7 seconds, that's when the defense is at its weakest. So if we can get a shot up, even if it doesn't go in, we can get our rebounders in position to secure the offensive rebound and put it home. So
metrics. Yeah.
Exactly right. Yeah. But, I mean, that's a type – kids want to play that way. You want to play fast. You want to get up and down the floor. Volume of shots.
Well, and the other thing about playing fast is the fact that you're going to have to play great defense. And when you play great defense, you have a great transition game generally, and that's when you're able to get those shots up in 7 seconds or less.
Yeah. No, that's exactly right. And, you know, he's of the Frank Martin, Bobby Huggins mold from that coaching tree to where, you know, they want to pressure you.
Yeah.
They want to get out the man-to-man pressure,
face.
Whether it's full court, three quarters, they're going to switch it up. You're never going to know for sure where it's coming from. But you couple that with the offensive pace they want to play with, that's good. I mean, that's a type of style that can win.
Yes. Well, look at your national champions.
Exactly right. I mean,
they don't poke along.
No. No.
They giddy up and go.
The style of play for the elite teams, the great teams, is pretty consistent.
Yeah.
You have to play fast.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't, if you want to slow it like Virginia, it's like watching paint dry with Tony Bennett. And actually, you know what? Watching paint dry might actually be a tad bit more entertaining on a given day than watching Virginia play. Work the ball around for 30 seconds. Get a rebound. Kick it out. Work it around for another 30 seconds.
Yeah.
It's effective.
Yeah.
You know, you can win a certain amount of games that way. But it's hard to win big games that way.
And it's hard to win big talent for your program playing that way.
Very much so.
And this is where Mark Smith, I think, has opened the door for a lot of perhaps other Illinois players who, let's face it, Illinois is loaded with a tremendous amount of talent that generally goes out of state. So
there's a young man from Belleville West, and his name eludes me right now. He was a sophomore
Lydell.
This year.
E.J. Lydell.
He's already on Underwood's radar.
There you go.
And because remember, the Belleville West, before Simeon beat Edwardsville in the Super Sectional, that was the only team that beat Edwardsville. And then Edwardsville got the revenge in the Sectional. But I remember thinking, how in the world did Belleville West beat Edwardsville? Then I saw that kid play. It's like, oh.
Yeah.
Okay, that's how. That answer just got a little clearer. He's really good.
Post player, too.
Yeah.
Is what they need. And there's been no word on Tillman yet either, for those who are wondering. He's not committed to Mizzou yet. There's really been nothing on him.
Well, the longer it goes on, the better off I think it is for Illinois.
I agree. And the fact that there was reports before, several months ago, that Smith and Tillman wanted to play together.
Yeah.
So now that Smith is on board, certainly would help the Illini's chances, one would think.
Yeah. The only other thing is, are his grades good enough? Because that's been a report out there as well, as he may not qualify.
So he's going to be a stud JUCO,
JUCO
player here,
or
perhaps.
Go play overseas. You can do that.
Got options.
Get paid.
But back to the Mark Smith thing for a moment. The optics of this are so good for Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
And let's be honest, they needed good optics. Because
they
optics around the program, for a variety of different reasons, across the athletic spectrum at the university, had not been good.
Well, the optics for football became good when Lovie Smith got hired. The optics for basketball were mediocre. The optics for women's basketball, terrible.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, there were just a lot of bad things that happened in Illinois athletics, and in fact, the report came out that they were $6.2 million in the hole or something, and I'm going, how can you be, you know, how can that be? But
wasn't Lovie Smith getting like $3 million a year or something?
Well, yeah, but boosters. You know, you want good, you got to pay for good.
That's right. Yeah,
you get
exactly
what you pay for.
Yep.
You get what you pay for, man. And
yeah, you can buy the cheap car.
You can have a university in the middle of cornfields, but you're going to have to pay somebody if you want to come in and have a program. Okay, that's bottom line. So that's why you've expanded all the way to the frickin' East Coast to get into those big markets. You're going to have to put some bucks out here. Let's just face it. That's the way of the world.
That's what Oklahoma State did not want to do with Brad Underwood. They didn't want to pay him.
Yeah.
So he left.
And you think about how quickly he turned that around. And you mentioned it's probably not realistic for the Illini to expect 25 wins next year. And that totally.
20 wins?
Totally right. I don't.
That's all. Yeah,
I think that's a possibility.
I think it is totally reasonable to expect the Illini to be, forget about the total wins,
right,
have a winning record in the Big Ten and make the NCAA tournament.
Yes.
To me, those are very realistic goals. Yes. Win the Big Ten? No, that's not realistic. No. When's the last time they were over 500 in the Big Ten? It's been a while. It's been a while.
Yeah. It takes more than one hand.
It does.
Yeah. So it's going to, it's going to show immediate results, and it's only going to whet the appetite, I think, for Illini basketball fans for the future, and also whet the appetite, perhaps, for other ball players who are trying to make a decision, where can we go? Well, this Illini program seems to be on the uptick. Why don't we get involved with this?
And we took, again, to the style of play they're going to be implementing, that is going to be very appealing to the Chicago Public League players.
Yes, it is.
I mean, it just is. It just is.
If you don't believe me, just watch the 3A and the 4, especially the 4A state championships.
That's how they play.
That's how they play.
That's how the game's played. At the highest level, that's how it's played.
So, and that's where your good ball players are.
That's exactly right. And, I mean, when Underwood came in, you know, he talked about he loved the state. He understood, you know, how the state worked in terms of how much importance high school basketball has. And you can just tell early that he wasn't blowing smoke.
No.
Like, he has his finger on the pulse of this state, and he's already in on a couple of kids from Simeon already. We talked about the young man from Belleville West. So, I mean, if he's able to go from Chicago and then all the way down to our neck of the woods and everywhere in between and get the talent, Illinois is going to be just fine.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's been the problem with Illinois for a number of years is they expect to be a big-time program, but they weren't getting the big-time talent.
True.
So, I mean, if they start getting the big-time talent, everything else will take care of itself.
And you still have to pay good coaches so that they're able to go get that big-time talent.
You do.
That's the thing. That's why Lovie Smith has to be paid that much money, because Lovie Smith's a recognizable entity that can go virtually anywhere and talk to a kid and say, hey, you ought to come play with me, because we're building a program and it's going to be something. So,
that's exactly right.
Yeah. So, to me, the Illinois thing was, you know, for lack of a better word, hoedown mentality that, okay, we're going to go on the cheap and try to get by with it. You can't do that anymore.
Don't work.
You cannot do that. That's why you've got your own, the Big Ten's got their own blasted TV network. They've expanded all over the place. You know, they're into the East Coast. You're going to have to pay the money, to get the kind of coaches so that you can get the kind of talent you want.
I love spending other people's money. It's so easy to spend other people's money.
Well,
but let's give the AD Joss Whitman a raise, shall we?
Well,
I mean, this dude has not been around that long, and look what he's done.
He has cleaned house,
totally overhauled the entire athletic department.
Yeah.
Big time hires.
Yeah.
Big time moves.
New women's coach. Basketball coach, you know.
And that's the one that doesn't get talked about enough is the women's coach.
Oh, yeah.
Good,
unless you're a UConn, nobody talks about women's basketball. Let's be fair.
Well, Tennessee gets talked about once in a while, too.
Maybe 20 years ago.
Well,
not
maybe.
When Pat
Summitt was there, it was always a conversation.
Yeah.
So, you know, once in a while, just kind of nostalgically.
And, you know, and it's so easy to forget about that because it's just, it's UConn has just turned themselves into a dynasty. I mean,
but
literally a dynasty.
Year, you know?
They didn't win
How
it this year.
That?
That's exactly right. But, I mean, I'm young enough to remember back in the day when Tennessee was the top dog.
Oh, yeah.
I remember when UConn was up and coming.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't beat Tennessee.
Yep. Yeah.
My, how that changed. Whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa. Yeah. Impressive.
But you want to be a dynasty? You gotta have the talent.
That's right. And see, that's funny. You mentioned they didn't win the title this year. I don't remember who won the title.
It was
South Carolina?
Not South Carolina.
All I remember is I watched the coverage of it, and all I can remember
that was South Carolina.
The broadcasters, South Carolina won.
Mississippi State beat UConn, and then lost South Carolina.
And all I can remember the announcer saying, "Look, if nobody beats UConn this year, they're not going to beat them for the next 4 years for sure because of the class they've got coming in. So this is the year. If anybody's going to get them, this is the year."
And they're going to play angry.
So.
An angry UConn women's team.
Oh my!
Yeah, I don't know who the poor sap is that has to open up with UConn next year. Have fun.
Go on another 120 game.
That's right.
Gino's already talking about it.
Exactly. Right. They'll open the spread at 65.5. They will cover. We need to get to a break here on Sports Saturday. We'll come back with more in a moment. Not looking good. What time did you say?
Sorry. 12:20.
Okay. 12:20.
I'm looking at Friday.
Okay, there we go.
Yeah, 12:20.
12:20 today.
Yeah, so the afternoon game. Not looking real good.
Not
looking real good.
Maybe we could have a special encore presentation of a previous broadcast.
Good.
Perhaps.
We'll call it Cardinal Classic.
Hey, last segment.
Well, we could actually choose a game they win. You know?
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. Been a few more of those lately.
Yeah.
At least.
Yeah.
Last segment, we were talking about the Illini and Mark Smith committing there. Of course, Mark Smith was named Mr. Basketball for the state a few weeks ago. And Terry, you were commenting before that this was the first time since 1999 that Mr. Basketball and Ms. Basketball were not from the Chicagoland area.
Yeah, that was, and that year was Molly McDowell.
Heard of her.
Yeah, heard of her. And Brian Cook from Lincoln.
Had a great Illini career.
Oh, he did. He did. And, you know, to think that it's been that long since we've had people who were not basically from the city of Chicago to be named Mr. and Miss Basketball is pretty amazing. But, you know.
But that just shows how
good. But just shows, you know, it shows the talent of the CPL.
Absolutely. But it also shows how good you have to be to win that award south of Chicago.
Yes. Because you, you know, around here we know of Mark Smith, but you don't get a whole lot of media attention outside of the city of Chicago.
I couldn't help but thinking, like, I was reading a couple different articles from, you know, from the papers in Michigan, because Michigan State again came in and runner-up. Poor Tom Izzo. Always the bridesmaid, this guy. Is he ever going to get a top-level recruiter? Just always come in second. But they talked about Mark Smith of Edwardsville, Illinois, and I thought to myself, I wonder how many people reading this in Detroit think, I wonder how close that is to Chicago.
Yeah.
What Chicago suburb is that? I've never heard of that Chicago suburb. I'm not familiar with Edwardsville?
Edwardsville?
Is that by Aurora?
It's mere 5 hours.
It's just east side.
Yeah.
Wrong east side.
Oh.
Okay.
That's the deep south.
It is
pretty
the
much
deep south.
Well, down by Kentucky.
If it's south of I-80, it's deep south. Yeah. Yeah.
But he had such a dominating year that, I mean, there was no question that he was going to be Mr. Basketball in the state. But for it to turn out like it has for him, and now off to Illinois he goes, and hey, we'll see what happens.
It's an exciting time for the Illini.
It really is. Big time gift.
And they've wanted to be big time for such a long time. And you know, to me, Illinois really made their mark back when Lou Henson was there and the Flying Illini, and they've become kind of the basketball school. And I know a lot of people still want to think of Illinois as the football school, and eventually they could become that. But, you know, basketball is probably the more immediate showcase for the University of Illinois.
I mean, let's be honest. Illinois maybe was a football school when they had leather helmets and Red Grange was around.
Well, you know, when Mike White was coaching, they did pretty well. They had a pretty good run there.
That's the thing about Illinois football. But once every 6 or 7 years, they make a big-time bowl.
And then it goes away. Yeah. So, but certainly, you know, Illinois being a basketball school worthy of being having national attention paid to it. Yeah.
John Gross found this out the hard way. The football team can stink. People expect the football team to stink. If the basketball team's mediocre, you got a problem.
You got trouble. Yeah.
One of the
And you know, John Gross, I thought was I like John Gross. I thought he was a decent guy. I thought he was going to come in and with the talent he had do some pretty special things, but it just never got over the hump. He had injury problems for a couple of years back to back, and that obviously didn't help him, and he just couldn't get over the hump.
Jeremiah Tillman really liked him too, because apparently that was the reason he didn't stay, committed.
That's
cited it as. So he must be going to Akron now, Tillman.
Yes, that's where he's going to go.
Yeah. So they've got an open scholarship.
John Gross, I liked John Gross as well, and I was on the camp of, I don't think they should fire this guy. Obviously, that's worked out beautifully that they did what they did, because they're still going to get all of his recruits in. They wind up with a better basketball coach. But there was something about Gross, there was just something that was always missing. Now, I never knew exactly what it was, but it seemed that every time in a late game situation, he'd call a timeout to set up a play, and they would turn it over. And a lot of times it's never as drastic as you think it is when you start thinking about those things
in
your mind. But boy, it seemed like they had a lot of turnovers after timeouts.
Kind of like when Jonathan Broxton comes in and gives up a home run.
Hello.
With the Cardinals.
He's
going to get whiplashes wheeling around and looking to his right.
Gross got hired because of the run he made as the head coach of Ohio when they went to the Sweet 16 and had a close game against North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
And you look at what he did in the MAC never did anything. I mean, he won the conference tournament a couple times, but in the regular season, never won. Never won a conference title.
And there's so much luck that goes into it, too, though. Because remember, his first year, he came in and took the group of players that Bruce Weber couldn't do anything with to the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
And they got hosed against Miami.
Yeah.
That's
so, I mean, it's hard. There's so many different variables that go in to being good. And luck is certainly one of them. And he had no luck.
No.
When he was at Illinois, whether it was
injuries, all sorts of luck.
Just all of it was bad. That's exactly right.
Yeah.
And Smith, I heard something interesting the other day. Smith is going to be the most dynamic point guard they have had since Dimitri McKamey. Because they haven't really had a playmaking point guard since McKamey. Tracy Abrams was the last one they had. You could mention that in, but he had nothing.
I think he's better than Dimitri McKamey. I think he's more explosive.
But you have to go back to McKamey since they've had.
Yeah, that's been a while.
Yeah,
that's been a while.
Because Tracy Abrams was never the playmaker.
Oh, no.
That Smith is. So
Smith is going to give you multi dimensions.
He can do it all.
That's the thing about Smith. The Illini. Position players were very one-dimensional.
Yeah.
Smith is not. If he needs to score, he'll score. If he needs to, you know, get in your face defensively, he'll get in your face. If he needs to whatever he needs.
He can beat you off the bounce. Yeah. He can beat you beyond the three. Yes. He can beat you with the pass.
Beat you to the hole. I mean, he can, you know, go.
I saw this kid play a couple times in high school, and literally – in the first minute of both games, he had thunderous dunks.
Yeah,
and I'm not talking like breakaway, like in traffic over people.
Yeah. So
I only throw McKamey out there because it's more of a safe comp than because the other guy you're talking about is Darren Williams. And that's awful big shoes to fill. I mean, not to say he can't do it, but.
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, I think that's exactly where he's at, though. I think he's better than McKamey and not quite as good as Darren Williams. And if you're resting in between that, you're going to be really good. Because Dimitri McKamey was a really good player for Illinois. Yeah. Really good.
But
his problem was he wasn't Darren Williams.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, and that, for a number of years, there was really unfair expectations and standards for the Illini because, well, Darren Williams did that. D. Brown did that.
Yeah.
James Augustine did this.
Yeah, he also,
yes, they did. You're right.
He didn't have the supporting cast either that Williams had.
No, he did not. But if that's where Mark Smith ends up resting, somewhere between those two, that's going to be great.
They're okay.
Great.
That's right.
Hey, here you are. You're almost into the first part of May, and people are talking Illini basketball.
How about that, huh?
And
that's what they wanted.
Yeah.
That's right. They needed something, and they got it.
They got it.
They got it.
The culture that Whitman has done. You talk about the job Whitman has done. I mean, the culture change has been phenomenal.
Oh, absolutely.
Because everybody's talking about them now and in a positive note. Not that, when are we ever going to be good again? Now it's hopeful.
Got to have hope.
Well, you got to have talent.
Got to have, yes.
Any coach will tell you, you're only as good as the horses you have on your team.
Yeah.
So, I mean... the horses that win the race. It's not the jockeys.
That's right. The underperforming horses have got many a jockey fired.
Yep. So.
We need a break here on Sports Saturday. We'll come back with more in a moment.
Back to Sports Saturday on WSMI FM 106.1, and we join Tim Mize and Terry Tote.
David Jenkins, thank you very much.
You know, I've been broadcasting for a few years. And I saw something the other night that I've never seen before in high school baseball, a triple play.
Really?
Yes. Saw a triple play at the Hillsboro-Greenville game the other night. Comets put six runs on the board, took a 6-1 lead or 6-0 lead, second inning. Toppers come right back, load the bases up, nobody out. Ground ball back to the pitcher, throw home, force out, throw to first, force out. Runner coming from second or rounding third base, gets a little bit too far off, throw over to third base, tag him out.
So we got Molina.
A 1-2-3-5 triple play.
No disrespect to high school baseball players ever, but I mean, it's usually defenders just aren't good enough in high school.
That throw from first to third, you know, 99.9% of the time is not going to be on the mark, but I said, well, that's a triple play.
1-2-3-5.
Yeah, 1-2-3-5 triple play. Yeah. I've never seen that before. I'm going, well, that's a first.
That'll change the momentum.
I said, well,
of the
that's our Diamonds and Dogs play of the game right there.
No discussion
said,
required.
No discussion. I said, Carl, it's done. This is it, buddy. I don't care what anybody else does the rest of the game. This is it. Because I've never seen this before. So.
And, you know, if you're on the business end of that, that just kind of leaves you mouth agape. Yeah. Like, wait a minute, what just happened?
What just happened here? Yeah, yeah. It took the wind out of the sails of the Toppers, yeah. So, but, never know what you're going to see at a ball game.
You really don't. And, you really don't. Baseball more than any other sport, mm-hmm. that is just, it's so true.
Yeah, yeah. It's crazy. It's crazy. And by the way, this is the week coming up. They're going to be doing the seedings for the regional tournaments for 1A and 2A baseball and softball schools. By the end of the week, next Saturday, we'll have pairings. Also, at the end of this coming week, the soccer regional tournaments get underway. Won't be much beyond that. You'll have the tennis and the track.
School year's winding down.
School. Yeah, we're what, 3 weeks away from the end of school now? In some cases, so maybe 4 weeks. So
we'll be real busy with postseason stuff here.
Oh yeah,
short order.
Yeah, hopefully we can get the dome finished by then.
It's a little behind schedule.
Yeah, it's just a little off schedule.
We ran into a funding issue.
Yeah,
got held up.
Yeah. Yes,
it's in the courts.
Yes,
it will be completed.
Yeah,
we forgot to ask people for money. Yeah.
That little pesky detail.
Yeah, well. That funding thing, yeah. It's always about the money.
It always comes down to the money. Yeah. It always does.
We're waiting on the state to pass a budget.
Oh, boy. Yeah. We'll be waiting for a little while.
Yeah.
Well, Dave, your kids will be gone and out of college, so.
Hope not. It's a while.
Guys, we got a few minutes left here in the program. Let's talk a little bit about the Blues.
Hey!
How about them Blues?
They saved their season last night.
Yes,
I mean, they wouldn't have been eliminated, but going
that down, was a must-win game.
Yeah, that was a must-win game.
Yeah,
it was about as intense as you can get too there at the end. Whew.
And the way that Jake Allen has been playing, and he hasn't been quite as good this series as he was the previous series, but it wasn't realistic to expect him to be at that level.
And theoretically, you're getting better competition each level you move up. So,
but this is what the Blues, and this isn't any sort of breaking news or brilliance, but the thing the Blues have always missed. Every year they're in the playoffs, no matter how good their team is the elite goaltending in the playoffs. You know, they've had good goaltenders, but those goaltenders have never played great in the playoffs.
Yeah,
Jake Allen is playing great in the playoffs, and we've seen it in hockey so many times. You can have us three out on the ice. If the goaltender is standing on his head, it doesn't much matter what else happens. So as long as Jake Allen continues to play like he's been playing, the Blues have a very good opportunity to keep on playing some hockey.
And one other step beyond that, Tim, the goalkeeper, I think, is really the primo side of things here. But the secondary would be the fact that the Blues do have some talent to score.
Yeah.
They've got people who can put the puck in the net. And
Tarasenko did it last night.
Tarasenko did it last night. And these are the guys that a lot of times, once the Blues get in the playoffs, they shut down.
Yeah.
And that's not been the case. So
except for Tarasenko. This is only like his fourth or fifth year in the league, and he's got 22 goals.
He fills it up
in the playoffs.
Yeah. You know, he's the real deal, man.
Yeah,
so,
but over their history, they have not had the goal scored in the playoffs
and, you know,
or the goal.
And they may not get out of this round.
They
may not. But they had to win that game last night. They came from behind with
twice.
With what? And got the game winner with what?
Less than four minutes to go.
Three
something left.
So
and remember, they've last two postseasons they've been better on the road than they've been at home.
It's true.
They're under 500 at home. They're good on the road.
So there's so much tension in the building when they're playing at home in the playoffs because Blues fans, they're just waiting.
The expectations are so unreal.
You're just waiting for the puck to bounce the wrong way and just something bad to happen. But when they get on the road.
A Bartman issue.
Yeah, pretty much.
Seriously.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
They're 3-0 on the road this year in the postseason. And they were over 500 last year. So this could be a good thing.
And they're playing a team that they know very well. Mm-hmm. I mean, a team that they play frequently in the regular season. And you know, that just kind of adds to the tensions and to the anger issue.
Well, last night was the first time Nashville lost in the playoffs this year.
Yeah, they swept the Blackhawks out.
True. Yeah, yeah.
It was just weird the way the Blues started the year. They got rid of so many of their veteran players, had two head coaches. Mm-hmm. So at the start of the year, they weren't planning on making a run this year. This was a rebuild type of year. We'll get our new head coach in, keep him along with Hitchcock, which everyone knew that was going to be a disaster. And it was. It's no coincidence that as soon as they got rid of Hitchcock, let Yo take over, they've been the second best team in hockey.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Since February 1st, since they made that coaching. Not a surprise. Because if you're a player, who do you listen to?
Yeah.
Who am I listening to here? The guy who's in charge now or the guy who's going to be make sure I have a paycheck next year?
There you go.
You know, it was set up to fail there.
Sure.
But now all of a sudden, you look at them, and they just seem to have that vibe. The positive energies, like they believe. They go into a game and think, you know what? Even if we get down a couple of goals, we're going to come back.
To me, it's kind of the vibe the Cardinals used to have.
Yeah, that's
once
right.
They got, you know, all we got to do is get in the playoffs. Yeah. We'll take it from there. If we got to win on the last day of the game, of the season, it's a regular season to get in, we'll get in as a walk-off. We don't care. As long as we get in.
And why were the Cardinals so dangerous in the playoffs for so long? Great pitching and great defense. They didn't beat themselves.
Yeah.
And in hockey, the equivalent to that is great goaltending.
Yes.
Last year's Blackhawks series did wonders to change the attitude of that team.
Because it ticked off the Blues for one.
Yeah. When they finally beat them in seven games and got over that hump, we can beat anybody. Yeah. They didn't make it to the Stanley Cup Finals, but I mean, they believed, hey, we can win series now, so it built some confidence.
Hey, I've always called the Blues the Cubs of hockey.
Well, now the Cubs did it.
Yeah. That's the point, though. Yeah. The Cubs did it.
Yeah.
So now maybe it's the Blues' turn. And I've always been of the belief, when the Blues win the Cup, it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be a year where they were the President's Trophy winner, where they're just smashing everybody. True. There's going to be adversity. Yeah. There's going to be moments where you just totally give up on the club. Oh, what a bunch of bums. They can't do anything right. But they have found themselves at the right time.
And they've got a hot goalkeeper.
Oh, they got a hot goaltender. And as long as Jake Allen is hot, I like where the Blues are at.
Yeah. You want to stay away from that President's Trophy if you're anybody.
You really do.
Well, it's kind of like the kiss of death.
It is.
It's really a Sports Illustrated cover. Yeah. Get me off this thing.
I don't know the last team to win the President's Trophy to win the Stanley Cup. I think it's been a while. I mean, it's a death sentence.
I mean, it happens, but it's not. For the Blues, it's certainly not good.
No.
The Blues win the President's Trophy, they're out in the first round. That's how it's gone for them.
The Canucks were the same way for a few years. They were the President's Trophy winners, and they got swept in the first round.
No matter the sport, though, maybe football is the exception to the rule. How often does the best team win?
Yeah. You know, it's a team who can grind through the long season, and it's a grinder season, and stay healthy enough and get hot enough at the end of the year.
We talk about high school basketball all the time when you get to the playoffs. You've got to have adversity and tough opponents throughout the year. Because if you get into a postseason game and for the first time your best player's in foul trouble, you're in trouble.
You're in trouble.
And so with the things the Blues went through in the regular year, they've faced about as much adversity as you can face in a given year with a variety of different things. And now here they are playing well, all sorts of confidence.
In the Elite Eight. They are one of the final eight. So.
Well, but, you know.
Yeah. Just doesn't sound the same when you're talking about hockey, the Elite Eight.
Well,
but half
with
the league made the playoffs.
Yeah,
especially with the way they
you got to remember, you know, in the old days, two-thirds of the league made the playoffs, four of the six.
Yeah. Well, 16 of the 32 make it.
Yeah.
I do still miss.
There's 30 teams in hockey.
Well, they just got Las Vegas now, so there will be 33, I think. It's 30. It's 30. There will be 31 because Las Vegas just got another.
Vegas has hockey. They have football.
The Las Vegas Black Knights, I think, is what they are.
CSI?
The original.
Oh, the original. That's right.
The original CSI. The only CSI.
That's
with
right.
Grissom.
The only
get
one.
This Miami and New York slop out of here.
Yeah.
Grissom, is that
who? Grissom.
Gil Grissom.
The guy who likes bugs.
Marg Helgenberger. Marg Helgenberger.
Like is an understatement. Yeah. Loves bugs.
We are out of time here on Sports Saturday. Try to stay dry across Mid-Illinois if you can. Hopefully Cardinal baseball today, not looking good, but we'll have live coverage 12:20 today, AM 1540 and FM 106.9. For David Jenkins, T-Tote, I'm Tim Mize. Sports Saturday is done on WQSMI, FM, Litchfield, Hillsboro, Carlinville, and Greenville, the station you can count on.